Now, my broadcast, once again, went on a loop. So I'll have two parts to this. Looks like. I'm not sure where it ended. But I will continue this. And I have now two parts to this broadcast because it went to a loop. So discontinued. Now it's back on again. Okay, so now you've got a two-part to this. I'm not sure where it went off at. Wherever it went off, I'll find out, and I'll continue it on tomorrow. But continuing with what I was talking about was a horrific bombing that we did in Korea, controlled by the Vatican. I'm telling a lot of stuff today. It's not going to make a lot of people happy. Here we go. So the death toll of primarily civilians in Korea was estimated at 2 to 4 million people. We still didn't win. South Korea alone, the UN estimates that over 5 million were displaced. Family rules of engagement are killing us. That's what they're designed for, actually. Continuing.
It was just confusion. And events afterwards
Robert McNamara
showed that our judgment that we'd been attacked that day was wrong. It didn't happen.
But the Gulf of Tonkin.
I referred to it as another sinking of the Maine.
Suggesting?
Senator Wayne Morris.
Well, you know what the best historical advice is in regard to the sinking of the Maine. It was a deliberate act on the part of the United States to have an excuse to go to war against Spain. The Gulf of Tonkin was a deliberate, aggressive act on the part of the Johnson administration to justify making war against North Vietnam.
Now, you remember last week I talked about the attempt by Israel to sink USS Liberty was within days or week of the Six-Day War. They're going to blame it on Egypt to get World War III started. They couldn't sink the USS Liberty. And a Russian trawler came up upon them, and the cowardly Israelis pulled off their flight and left after bombing it for 2 hours or more. USS Liberty would not go down. So they had to break off the attack. I talked about that last week. It'd be a time that if you were a brave admiral and you saw it happening, no matter what the president said, to heck with the rules of engagement, you'd steam and launch Phantoms with the orders to take down those two jets, no matter what. You destroy them because they're attacking our ship. To heck with your career. But you destroy those two jets from Israel for attacking our ship. They knew exactly what they were attacking. But they didn't do that. Where's our ships when the USS Liberty is being attacked? They're ordered rules of engagement. Let me continue. American deaths in Vietnam was like 58,220. Some say 68,000. I don't know. Civilian casualties were in the millions. Civilian deaths were in the millions. 1962 to 71, Operation Ranch Hand, Vietnam.
More and more tourists coming to Vietnam.
Agent Orange.
There's a perception outside that the war here is a distant memory, but nothing could be further from the truth. While relics like these from long ago battles are few and far between, you don't have to go far to find the human wreckage. A new battlefield is opening up over Agent Orange, and this fight's not going to happen here. They're taking it to a courtroom in New York City.
We are alleging violations of international law. The chemical companies profited from making the herbicides, and being the ones who manufactured it, they were or should have been aware of the risks involved.
Planes and helicopters drenched the countryside with 42 million litres of the chemical for 8 years, from 1962 to 1970. It killed the trees that gave cover to the enemy and deprived them of the rice they depended on for food. The Agent Orange compound contained dioxin, one of the most toxic substances known to man. The Vietnamese say this poisonous war breached the Geneva Convention, and the consequences are more than 3 million victims.
The reason that 1925 Geneva Protocol was important in this case is because the United Nations passed a resolution that the use of any kind of biological or chemical weapon to kill plants in time of war is a violation of that protocol.
The purpose of Agent Orange was to target the American forces who were baby boomers to give them cancer. That was the purpose of Agent Orange. The purpose of Vietnam was to bring in the drugs CIA was using to infest America with drugs, as they are in Afghanistan, that the troops have seen currently. The drugs are used to medicate throughout the 60s, as started in the late 50s, early 60s. They were getting drugs from South America. Now they had add to it Vietnam. Now they add to it Afghanistan. The CIA brings the drugs in, takes it to the mafia and the organized crime. It's to medicate the nation. Although they'll legalize marijuana lately. Watch it. It's going to happen. Through the 60s were designed. I'm not going into detail with that. That's another story about Tavistock and how they set up our 60s. They need the drugs to change the culture. So now you know why Vietnam was going after the Vietnamese Christians to bring in the communists to take control by design, by rules of engagement, to make sure the communists take control of Vietnam by design. It was designed to fail. I have the details. President Nixon is just another boob, just like Reagan, his cousin. Nixon was going to plan a military takeover of the U.S. government, too, 1972, 1974, working with General Cushman, a buddy of his. It failed to happen. I've talked about that. William T. Steele talks about it. I've got details that I confirmed that he's correct. Seymour Hersh talks about it. Oh, man. So Vietnam was designed to attack the baby boomers, to make sure Vietnam stayed communist, and for Department of Defense spending. That was the purpose of Vietnam. And to make sure it lasted, that later is to be lasted in Afghanistan, when the Russians were victim to the same organization for the same reasons. To set up the next ultimate enemy, Islam. Right on target. We moved the jihad from Afghanistan into Bosnia. Just like clockwork. Should we call it Clockwork Orange? The abnormalities of the babies are unbelievable. The idea was then to use children as combatants, thereby going against the training of our military to increase the effects of post-traumatic stress. Since 1975 to 2012, over 100,000 Vietnam vets have committed suicide. It goes against training to kill children. That's why they use children as combatants, by design, as they're doing in Iraq and Afghanistan, by design, to enhance or exacerbate the symptoms of post-traumatic stress. Add to it the psychotropic drugs to eliminate our military. That's the purpose of it. Vietnam was a testing ground for horrific, horrible burst effects and so forth. Agent Orange and napalm was produced by the Department of Defense, primarily by Monsanto Corporation and Dow Chemical. Whoa. Both of a CFR, Council of Foreign Relations. Desert Storm. They plan on using the virus they created in the laboratory called Gofor Syndrome. Yeah, you heard me right. August 1990 to February 1991. And the American public relations firm Hill and Knowlton orchestrated selling this war to the public, and it was the largest foreign-funded PR campaign ever. The Foreign Agents Registration Act should have exposed this propaganda effort to the American people, but the Justice Department chose not to enforce it. The same thing happened in Kosovo, the Srebrenica, and Rajak massacre. It was all manufactured. The ones that died in Srebrenica were combatants that we brought over from Afghanistan, working with Islamic intelligence agencies in Turkey, Iran, Saudi Arabia, United States CIA, Pakistan Intelligence, ISI, working together. It's all the same agenda. Hill and Knowlton was paid between $12 million, as reported on 60 Minutes, and $20 million, reported on 2020, for services rendered. Reference Counterpunch.
And they had kids in incubators, and they were thrown out of the incubators so that Kuwait could be systematically dismantled.
He lied.
Took the incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
Another lie.
I could not help but think of my nephew.
This is the daughter of the Kuwaiti's ambassador to the United States, Saad Nasir al-Sabah.
Premature might have died that day as well.
Though Amnesty International first reported the 312 figure, they soon retreated from the early details and now deny the entire incubator story. Spokesman Sean Stiles in London.
We spoke to well over a dozen doctors of different nationalities who had been in Kuwait at the time, and they couldn't stand the story up, and it became quite clear to us that credible medical opinion was that this didn't happen.
Officials of Middle East Watch, which also monitors human rights, were suspicious from the start. Executive Director Andrew Whitley of New York was part of a two-man investigation in Kuwait, and he doesn't mince words describing the incubator story.
Soon after we arrived in Kuwait, 2 weeks after the liberation, it became apparent that the story was a complete hoax. We were able to go round the hospitals to count the incubators and find that, possibly with one or two that had been misplaced, that none were missing. So none of the incubators were removed in the first place. Moreover, it seemed quite clear that there weren't any deaths which had been deliberately the cause of the Iraqis having gone in and stolen equipment.
It's terrifyingly effective public relations and a fantastic, incredible subversion of democracy. When you begin allowing public relations firms to set the agenda, to make the decision on whether, in a sense, to organize the debate about whether or not we're going to go to war.
That's the view of John Richard MacArthur, publisher of Harper's Magazine. He's investigated the role of propaganda in selling the Gulf War, and he's written a book about it, coming out this spring. He's also explored the impact of that congressional hearing and a startling conflict of interest at the highest level.
The
At the time Congressman Porter and Lantos chaired the hearing on Kuwait, they also headed a private group, the Congressional Human Rights Foundation. MacArthur discovered a disturbing link between the Human Rights Foundation and the PR firm that was selling the war.
The Congressional Human Rights Foundation literally operates out of Helen Knowlton's offices on the second floor of an office complex called Washington Harbor in Georgetown. Helen Knowlton provides a $3,000 in-kind charitable contribution to the Congressional Human Rights Foundation in the form of a rent reduction for the office space.
The link between Hill and Knowlton and the Human Rights Foundation doesn't end there. Frank Mankiewicz, vice chairman of Hill and Knowlton, became a director of the Human Rights Foundation. And there are other interconnections.
Citizens for a Free Kuwait donated $50,000 to the Congressional Human Rights Foundation after Iraq invaded Kuwait.
During that period of time, for the majority of Iraqis, the carpet bombing of civilian infrastructure in the war resulted in food that was not refrigerated, sewage was not treated, water was not purified. So a Harvard team, Harvard of all people, projected more than 170,000 children under the age of five would die the year of 1991 from the delayed effects of the bombing. You know that during the early aerial bombardment and later the tank war, President Bush and Secretary Cheney authorized the use of massive amounts of depleted uranium for the first time in the history of warfare. So MK-77 incendiary bombs, a napalm derivative, was also used by the Marines. Well, did you all know that 100 tanks were made out of depleted uranium, the shell? Did you know that the rounds of depleted uranium that hit objects activated? It became radioactive again. They didn't tell people that now. Yeah, it's true. Yep, sticks out like a sore thumb. They use psychotronic weapons, they use all kinds of things, just like they're doing today. They use the civilians of Iraq and our veterans as guinea pigs for the coming Holocaust. Cheney teamed up with old George W. Cheney was a member, his cousins too. Do you know that Cheney and GW are cousins? Yeah, they're cousins. Yeah, they are. And then go to war with Iraq for the second time, destroying any evidence of any prior war. Cheney was director of Council of Foreign Relations at one time and kept it concealed. Here comes terrorism. Invasion of Afghanistan, I've told you about that dozens of times. And our war on terrorism was a farce. Enemies, yes. Controlled. Operation Enduring Freedom, 2001. Kill them, they're terrorists. I was over in Kuwait, 1994. I was one that set up the training and security for civilians, armed security. I was one that set it up when the government pulled out, when the military pulled out of Camp Doha. I was the only one that set up the armed security contractors when the army pulled out in Camp Doha, Kuwait, 1994. Went back to Saudi Arabia and set up security for Opium Sang that trained the National Guard for the royal family. I set up security for their quarters in a government contract with a protective agency that I'd also been a member of, and State Department and DOE. I've been there. I set up the training and the actual program. I know what the dickens I'm talking about. So now we're to kill the American terrorists is what we're at now. Nothing's changed. The terrorists control the CIA and Mossad and MI5 and MI6 and all of them. I'm not going to talk about 911. I don't have the time to talk about that setup also. All the drivel.
On the morning of September 11th, 2001, 19 men armed with box cutters directed by a man on dialysis in a cave fortress halfway around the world using a satellite phone and a laptop directed the most sophisticated penetration of the most heavily defended airspace in the world, overpowering the passengers and the military combat trained pilots on four commercial aircraft before flying those planes wildly off course for over an hour without being molested by a single fighter interceptor. These 19 hijackers, devout religious fundamentalists who like to drink alcohol, snort cocaine, and live with pink-haired strippers, managed to knock down three buildings with two planes in New York. While in Washington, a pilot who couldn't handle a single-engine Cessna was able to fly a 757 in an 8,000-foot descending 270-degree corkscrew turn to come exactly level with the ground, hitting the Pentagon in the budget analyst office where DoD staffers were working on the mystery of the $2.3 trillion that Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld had announced missing from the Pentagon's coffers in a press conference the day before, on September 10th, 2001. Luckily, the news anchors knew who did it within minutes.
Osama bin Laden.
The pundits knew within hours.
Osama bin Laden.
The administration knew within the day.
Terrorists who committed these acts and those who harbor them.
And the evidence literally fell into the FBI's lap.
That a hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
But for some reason, a bunch of crazy conspiracy theorists demanded an investigation into the greatest attack on American soil in history. That investigation was delayed, underfunded, set up to fail, a conflict of interest, and a cover-up from start to finish. It was based on testimony extracted through torture, the records of which were destroyed. It failed to mention the existence of WTC-7, Able Danger, PTEC, Sibel Edmonds, OBL and the CIA, and the drills of hijacked aircraft being flown into buildings that were being simulated at the precise same time that those events were actually happening. It was lied to by the Pentagon, the CIA, the Bush administration, and as for Bush and Cheney, well, no one knows what they told it because they testified in secret, off the record, not under oath, and behind closed doors. It didn't bother to look at who funded the attacks because that question is ultimately of little practical significance. Still, the 9/11 Commission did brilliantly answering all of the questions the public had, except most of the victims' family members' questions, and pinned blame on all the people responsible, although no one so much as lost their job, determining the attacks were
failure of imagination.
Osama bin Laden lived in a cave fortress in the hills of Afghanistan, but somehow got away. Then he was hiding out in Tora Bora, but somehow got away. Then he lived in Abbottabad for years, taunting the most comprehensive intelligence dragnet employing the most sophisticated technology in the history of the world for a decade, releasing video after video with complete impunity and getting younger and younger as he did so, before finally being found in a daring SEAL team raid which wasn't recorded on video, in which he didn't resist or use his wife as a human shield, and in which these crack special forces operatives panicked and killed this unarmed man, supposedly the best source of intelligence about those dastardly terrorists on the entire planet. Then they dumped his body in the ocean before telling anyone about it. Then a couple dozen of that team's members died in a helicopter crash in Afghanistan. This is the story of 9/11, brought to you by the media which told you the hard truths about
his head could be seen to move violently forward.
And
they took the babies out of incubators.
And
mobile production facilities.
You will never ever express doubts about any part of this story to anyone. Ever. This has been a public service announcement by the friends of the FBI, CIA, NSA, DIA, SEC, MSM, White House, NIST, and the 9/11 Commission. Because ignorance is strength.
Year after year, Saddam Hussein has gone to elaborate lengths, spent enormous sums, taken great risks to build and keep weapons of mass destruction. But why? The only possible explanation, the only possible use he could have for those weapons is to dominate, intimidate, or attack.
Saddam Hussein was a Freemason, by the way. The invasion, we all know, was based on fabricated intelligence and oil. And for those in the know, I won't elaborate, but the blue pots. You know about the blue pots, those that know about it. The blue pots. We know about it. Afghanistan, servicemen and women, 2,165 killed in that period of time, 18,230 wounded, February the 5th, 2013. Iraq, 4,475 U.S. servicemen members killed, 32,200 wounded. And don't forget, by the way, 22 to 26 suicides per doggone day is being orchestrated by design. Per day. Civilian deaths and displacements were counted by Johns Hopkins School of Public Health in June 2006. Its findings was 650,000 people, civilians and fighters, died as a result of the war in Iraq, and the number of displaced persons, internal within Iraq and external refugees, mainly in Jordan and Syria, ranged from estimates of 3.5 million to 5 million or more, which were attributed to the war. Human cost of war in Iraq, the MIT, was itself as a dirty school. You heard me correctly. So the war crimes are just like Nazi Germany, so our troops are torn from what they're trained, their background, to what they've been told to do by the rules of engagement, has contributed considerably to the increase of post-traumatic stress effects and the pills they give when they come back, shall I say it, by design. Companies who manufactured depleted uranium, according to references, research, Alliant Technosystems, General Dynamics, Day and Zimmerman, StarMet Corporation, and Cameco Corporation in Canada. One hot particle, the depleted uranium material in the lungs, which can be ingested by breathing bomb dust, is equivalent to a chest x-ray every hour for life. It is impossible to remove, so the lung gradually irradiates the victim until death ensues. Now you know. Geneva Convention, considered to be mass destruction, have asked them to be banned. And Colonel James Naughton of the U.S. Army Material Command recently told BBC back then about complaints about depleted uranium had no medical basis.
The BBC went to Fallujah in March this year to look into the claims. It was only possible to stay there a few hours, but in that time we found large numbers of children with serious birth defects. Some had six or more fingers on each hand. Many had tumors which affected their spines. There was plenty of evidence of brain damage. Some of the cases were too dreadful for us to show. Now a report has been published which details the results of a survey of 4,800 people in Fallujah. It indicates that cancers and other diseases and problems are significantly higher than those for the survivors of the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombs in 1945.
Cold War, terrorism, preemptive strikes, all this is part of the construct. Constant conflict, Hegelian dialectic, is all orchestrated. Everything's orchestrated perfectly. God is the only thing that keeps them back. For now. Corporate media sells the stupid wars, engineered through public opinion and fear. As a matter of fact, moving right along, I will tell you, if I can find it right quick, in the Rockefeller File by Gary Allen, he says, and I quote, "With money, the Rockefellers gained control of the media," as I told y'all, continuing, "With the media, the family gained control over public opinion. With control over public opinion, they gained control of politics. And with control of politics, they're taking control of the nation." That's how it really works.
Nation, lock your doors and board up your windows because America is in a state of panic. I hope you're wearing a clean diaper. Because the United States government, in cooperation with cable news, has once again taken us to Code Brown. Jim?
High alert is an attack imminent.
Americans have been put on notice. They may not be safe this month.
A global travel alert is now in effect for all Americans around the world. That's after sources say there's growing intelligence that Al-Qaeda is planning an attack. As a precaution, the U.S. is closing 22 embassies and consulates.
U.S. officials say an attack could happen anywhere in the world at any time. It could happen literally at any moment.
Yes, an attack is imminent. Any moment, anywhere, anytime. Look to your left. Look to your right. Both of those people could be terrorists. And what about that guy in the middle? He keeps looking around so much. What's he planning? Folks, this warning is exactly why we invested hundreds of billions of dollars in our intelligence gathering, surrendered our privacy, and let the NSA turn the Constitution into a choose-your-own-adventure. So we can get concrete, actionable intelligence like this.
Al-Qaeda appears to be planning something big, although we don't know the exact target or the exact method.
We still don't know the time, the date, or target of any attack.
What they don't know is the exact date, the exact location that's going to occur, or the nature of it. Are they going to attack embassies? Are they going to attack hotels? We just don't know.
Nothing's changed. Since 1800s. Two-party politics, take control. Democrat, Republican, it don't matter. Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, all of them. White House staff filled with former lobbyists, Wall Street. Zbigniew Brzezinski. Trillions go to banks, multinationals, or Pentagon. It's all part of the Illuminati. Jesuits. Bank labor scandals, drug money, laundering, offshore tax havens. Tax-exempt foundations. Patriot Act reauthorized, drafted by Bush. Veterans Disarmament Act to get the veterans when they come back. Post-traumatic stress. You can't have a weapon. They got it all fixed out. NDAA, same thing. War Powers Act, the FDR. Nothing's changed. Monsanto Protection Act was originally signed by Obama. Allowed to expire by Congress. It's signed up. They're all part of this, family. All of them. They all work together. One to the other to the other. Republican, Democrat, don't matter. They work for the CFR. Guantanamo to prepare the terrorists to come in through Mexico and go up to Detroit, Dearborn to live. BP oil refinery, Fukushima, not fully disclosed, uses more terror tactics. Chemtrails and HAARP remain unexplained to most people. You can look those up. We've been at war ever since 9-1-1. We've been at war since the 1700s. All orchestrated. NSA action, security fears, homeland security. Zero statistical basis. We're getting closer to corporate fascism and the Illuminati. The family, they're heading fast track. Fast track to their own deception, their own destruction, and they don't even know it. It's a supernatural war we're in. They don't realize that. Oh, we're gonna have troubles. But they will not win. It's impossible. But we're going through tribulations in our government, in our country. It's been targeted now. because we're the last bastion, as Bill Cooper said. But they've known this all along. Our own government, our own military is working with the Jesuits and the CFR. In all countries, it's the same. The only good and bad side is they fight each other for who's in charge. That's it. Jesus Christ is the only way. I don't believe in him. It don't matter. Satan controls it for the time being. It's allowed by God. The more we pull away from God, the more he's going to allow. I don't believe in Satan. Don't matter. They do. Lucifer and Satan is the same. And the ones that control it believe in Lucifer. Clintons, Carters, Nixons, the whole dadgum lot of them. Every one of them are part of Bohemian Grove, are part of this Luciferian agenda. Yes. Tomorrow I will continue. I'm not done. More needs to be said. And we'll do it tomorrow, more detail. I want to let y'all know that we are played, my broadcast and Bible studies are played up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, also randomly, on a network by John Kirkler, highpointradio.net. Highpointradio.net. He does it just as a favor. He just plays it, and then I give him some word there. He's got sponsors. You can find them on his website, highpointradio.net. And if you're up in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, use those sponsors. Also, my website is watchmenforjesus.com, and my Facebook is Watchmen for Jesus. And family, study your Bible. Do your praying. Cover yourself with the full armor of God. This is a supernatural war we're in. Rules of engagement is what they use, Hegelian dialectic, to control the outcome of all wars, all conflicts. So your time at Command Staff College, it was worthless. Because you're not allowed to win because of the way it's set up. That's the reality. I've been trying to prove for the past 2 weeks. It's all clear to me now, for me. But family, they're on their straight and narrow to failure. But in the meantime, that Bible is going to come true. That tribulation is going to happen. But they're going to come with this extraterrestrial nonsense they're going to throw at you. I'll be talking about that this week also. It's a hoax and it's nonsense. You're going to see things whenever this thing kicks off. This disclosure, this day of declaration, they call it. It's going to upset religion as you know it completely. I do hope to talk about that this week, toward the end of the week, because it's a new, fictitious, alternate enemy. It'll be the last one, leading us to a new world order. Family, we're toward the end of the program today. Tonight, Bible study, 8 to 9. And I appreciate y'all coming by today. We had a nice crowd today. I appreciate your visiting. And tomorrow we'll continue on. Tonight, 8 to 9, Eastern Standard Time, Bible study. I do it for an hour every night on my website, watchmenforjesus.com. And then tomorrow, 4 to 6, more about the rules of engagement. You know, I could go the rest of this week. I don't know. Because when I get to the extraterrestrial lie, it'll be toward the end of the week. But rules of engagement is what we're going to be confronted with until that time. They control the outcome of all wars and always have. Those of you that are in high level, you better know that you are targeted. When this thing gets down to the roundabout, to the North American Union, the good guys that are in control will be targeted. That's documented. You better listen to me. But they will never win because Jesus Christ already won. He told us what's going to happen. And there's absolutely nothing they can do to stop the events that take place in the Bible. They cannot do it. It will not happen. But in the meantime, we got to go through that time. Get closer to God. Seek Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is the bottom line. Because he's alive, and he's coming back, and he's the only one that can. Y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. We'll see you tonight, 8 to 9, or tomorrow, 4 to 6. It's Thomas Gamble. I am your host. I'm your watchman. And I am signing off.
Sunlight from the skies, guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Every day.